download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
You are indeed listening to Monday Night Talk, and Mr. Richard Rosny has stepped out for just a couple of moments, but I'm sure he will rejoin us at some point during the show. Joining us, our next guest, he is not only the founder of this very program that you listen to every Monday night, he is also a state senator, and if he plays his cards right and if he gets enough votes, could possibly be the next mayor of Weymouth. Joining us right now is none other than State Senator Bob Hedlund. Senator, good evening. How are you?
Good, and I appreciate that introduction. That's the first time I've been referred to in that way, and I think that when I die, I might want that on my headstone.
Really?
That's the pinnacle of my professional life.
Oh, I see. I would think that you'd want to be known as the rock and roll senator.
Founder of Monday Night Talk.
Founder of Monday Night Talk, because this is going to be an epic show when I get done with it.
That's right.
First and foremost, I have to ask you, news broke a little over a week and a half ago that you are entertaining a run for mayor in the town of Weymouth. What is this true?
Yeah, it's beyond the entertainment stage now. We'll be having our kickoff June 4th, and we have announced that that is what we are doing. And, it's be a new chapter for me, certainly, and as a resident of the town and, you know, sharing the frustration of many that the direction the town has taken, that I have thrown my hat in the ring, as we say.
What is the enticement? I mean, you're somebody who's a long-serving member of the legislature. You're well-known for your hard work and fight on a lot of different issues. Why take it from the state level and want to be more on the municipal side of things?
Yeah, it was a tough decision, really, Kev. I mean, people have been asking me for a number of years. The current mayor, she really didn't have any serious opposition 4 years ago. People asked me 8 years ago. I really had no thoughts really did not entertain the thought of doing that. But the way things have gone in the town that I live in, and just a whole series of factors. One of the things that really convinced me, I've had, as you know, my legislative director, Pat O'Connor. He is the town council president in Weymouth. So we're obviously working together on a lot of town issues, and just having seen during his council presidency, during his tenure, some of the issues that he has worked on and some of the frustration he has had in trying to move the Southfield project forward, a lot of the budgetary issues in Weymouth, the way that's gone, the issue of an override in town, there was a huge division between the council and the mayor. And I've seen that the potential is there for someone to go in with the right management approach and a different kind of vision to actually get some things done in the town. So I thought it was a good time. I've had a good run on Beacon Hill. If things work out, I'm going to certainly have some serious melancholy about leaving. You know, I really enjoy representing the towns that I represent and interacting with the town officials that I do, and obviously have some great friends on Beacon Hill. And I think the mayor's job is a tougher job, to be honest with you, from what I can see. But I'm up for the challenge. So,
do you have anybody who has supported you over the number of years that you've been up on Beacon Hill who are afraid of losing you in the Senate? As it is, the numbers are so low when it comes to Republicans representing in the Senate that taking another blow, losing another Republican in the Senate could cause problems.
Well, we'll see. If we didn't hold the seat, we'll still be up one from where we were in the last session. As you know, Senator DiMacedo has joined our ranks. Vinny DiMacedo from Plymouth has done a great job, and he'll pick the slack up for me, I'm sure. But I think that we have a great chance of holding the seat. I believe my legislative director, Pat O'Connor, who, as I mentioned, is the town council president, has an intention of running, and we'll probably see other good candidates. So all good things come to an end, right?
Right. So I got to have to ask you is, what do you feel, I think you already touched on a couple of different issues, but what do you feel will be some of the main issues as we get closer to September and November that yourself and other candidates are going to look to talk about and want to, you know, run the campaign on?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's financial. It's all really financial, and it's all management. You've got a whole host of town departments that have been cut and cut and cut, and it's really a question of, you know, doing a better job with the existing resources that you have, ferreting out ways to bring some additional revenue in to help that budgetary pressure. You know, we're at staffing levels below what we were when Prop 2.5 was implemented in our public safety sectors, and my big frustration is the way that maintenance is done in the town, or the lack thereof. So it comes down to that. Really, budgetary issues are first and foremost, getting the Southfield project moving, which will help reduce some budgetary pressures in the long run, and hopefully some gain in the short term when we see that project realized. And as you know, just in the last year, worked on the legislation to change the governance structure of that. So I've been on kind of both sides of that issue.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and we know that just changed hands. How significant is that in your eyes, seeing that this you're going to have someone new come in and kind of try to pick up that project and finish it?
Yeah, I mean, most people in town have become cynical, and rightfully so, because this thing has had false starts and stops from day one. Actually, if you even go further back to the BRAC process, between the proposal for the Mills Mega Mall, everything that has surfaced has vaporized. But this, and I hate to be like the boy that cried wolf here in a sense, but with LSTAR, we have a great opportunity, because these people are actually, you know, the owners. It's not just some big corporate entity that has that piece of parcel in their portfolio. These guys are owner-operators of this. They will be owner-operators of this, and I think that they'll have significant skin in the game, and they're going to be really forced to make something happen. And the owner of the entity, Kyle Corkum, will be on site a lot. He's a Massachusetts native. They're really, for their own sake, not just for our sake, they're going to have to produce.
You know, one too many times I've heard communities say that they're going to lean on, you know, whoever their state rep is, who their state senate is, to try to get things done up on Beacon Hill. Do you kind of feel that where you've been there, and that you've got a lot of colleagues and a lot of folks that you kind of got a leg up on trying to get anything done in that town?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had the governor call me last night, you know, just to talk about some of the things you were talking about. And, you know, the time is right for that, too. I mean, being in that position and having a good relationship with the current administration certainly can't hurt the town. You know, I think that the town has missed out on a number of opportunities where I've tried to put folks in the town together with different state agencies for different funding mechanisms that have not been followed up on. Certainly representing eight towns in the legislature and interacting with municipal government, I see what works, what doesn't work. You know, what town employs the best practices for certain operations, and I think having that perspective and not just an insular perspective of just having been inside Weymouth Town government will help. I think there's a lot of potential for improvement in a lot of departments, and all we have to do is look at what works in some other communities in some instances.
You know, going from being on the state level to a municipality, another thing that I think you would, if you were elected, and something that you would have to, your administration would have to take a look at, is the ongoing drug issue. I mean, what is the drug issue like in the community of Weymouth compared to other communities on the South Shore?
Well, you know, that is a problem that is, it's a statewide issue. It's certainly a South Shore-wide issue, and it's impacted Weymouth maybe to a more significant degree than many towns on the South Shore. You know, in looking at some statistics, looking at information that I've gleaned from talking to my local law enforcement officials, it's certainly having an impact everywhere, but certainly more significantly in some towns than others. And it cuts across demographic lines, racial lines, economic lines. It's, it's a strange situation, not to, you know, call certain towns out, but you'll have, you know, some more well-to-do towns that I represent that it's an issue more than it is in the next town that's a potentially well-to-do town. Weymouth, we have much more significant challenge on this issue because of the number of cases that we've had. I think thus far this year we've had, I think the number is, I know it's over 100. I think it might be in the 120, 130 range of overdoses so far this year. That's just completely unacceptable. It's the biggest tragedy that we face as a society right now. I think it may get better, but it's going to get better for a host of reasons. I think that the statistics will bear out that it'll get better because some of the access to the drugs has been, you know, limited over time. It's not as prevalent in terms of younger kids' ability to access OxyContin, some of the other painkillers that really is the gateway to the heroin use, although heroin itself is cheap and prevalent. So hopefully we can make some inroads. The education part, the penalty part we're looking at on Beacon Hill. So we want to address that. It's one of those things that you hope to have an impact, but you also sometimes get very frustrated and feel powerless to, as one person, to change everything. We really got to come to grips with this issue as a society.
I would ask you this. It's kind of surprising because you and I have had conversations off the airwaves, and I've asked you if you've ever thought of seeking another office, whether you'd run for governor. Of course, you got Charlie Baker, and who I'm almost sure you support. So you wouldn't be going that way. Running for mayor. I mean, it's almost similar to what we saw with Sam Sutter, who was the district attorney down in Bristol County, who is now the mayor of Fall River. Did you think or consider running for higher office before seeking to run for mayor of Weymouth?
I looked at the congressional race back in 2010, obviously. That created a lot of interest by a lot of people. In the end, I decided not to. But this particular position really wasn't on my radar screen until very recently for some of the reasons we talked about earlier. You know, I just see the potential for getting some things done in the town of Weymouth has significantly improved lately. The more I talk to different town councilors and some of the community leaders around the town, I'm convinced that we do have some good talent in place that wants to try to make a positive difference. We may have some additional resources with the Starwood issue. The council has put forward an override. That'll help. We want to keep Weymouth affordable, but I think the room is there for a minor operational override. I didn't agree with what the mayor proposed, which was a $18 million debt exclusion override, which the council unanimously opposed. Some additional, hopefully with this administration, we'll have a little bit more of a partnership restored with the state government on the issue of local aid. The governor's already done the right thing in releasing an additional $100 million, which the legislature approved for local road projects, which the previous administration refused to release. So I think the stars are in alignment to kind of help out on the budgetary side and give the mayor a little more flexibility to bring some of the staffing up to where it needs to be in places like the DPW, police, and fire and schools.
Again, we are speaking with State Senator Bob Hedlund, who recently announced that he is running for mayor, seeking to be the next mayor of Weymouth, and we're in a pretty good conversation here. And I guess I want to take things away from the financial part of things and away from the issue of drugs, and maybe look at the economic development side of things, and also talk a little bit about what the business atmosphere is like in the town of Weymouth in order to generate money for the tax rolls.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's one of the biggest challenges that the town has faced. We have a very low commercial tax base, and that really is a problem, puts a little more stress certainly on homeowners and their property tax rates. And obviously those communities like Braintree, et cetera, who do have a strong commercial tax base, obviously provides a lot more revenue for the town. We need to do something about that in Weymouth. We hope that the Southfield project, which does have ultimately a strong commercial component, even though the demand has not been there yet. We think that some of the residential development that we're on the threshold of doing, and some that's already been completed, will spur some commercial interest. We think it's a great site for that, and that can really serve ultimately in the long run as really a commercial center for Weymouth. I do think there's been some missed opportunities on commercial development, and we have lost, quite frankly, some good commercial businesses that have been replaced with, you know, with operations. Not that there's anything wrong with more coffee shops and self-storage facilities, but we would like to bring in a higher grade, really, of commercial activity to the town, and we hope that we are able to do that. Certainly, the infrastructure is there, and the location of Weymouth is desirable for a lot of types of businesses. So that's something that I hope to play a role in, you know, actively selling the community to the business community for that kind of investment.
Which makes a lot of sense, because you look at communities like Braintree and Weymouth, those are the doorstep to Boston. A lot of folks like to live in that area and be able to make the commute up to Boston, and that is a landing place for folks who want it, a residential, you know, who want to be a resident of that community, and to kind of supplement it with a good businesses, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, having the situation Weymouth Landing, I'm sure many of the listeners, even if you're from down south on the South Shore, you can you know, you've driven through Weymouth Landing, you've seen the abandoned buildings there, some of the problems we have on Route 3A, Route 53. We hope to turn that around.
What are some of the other little-known issues that you're hoping this campaign and this mayoral campaign will shed a light on for voters to be able to listen to and watch?
It's really, you know, the things we talked about, Kevin, and, you know, the schools. We've got a school building project. You know, I've seen communities around my district make the significant investment in their school facilities. We've got a lot of aged schools in Weymouth. We did do a high school project a few years back, but we do have a middle school that needs attention. That's going to be an issue. We have really some of the infrastructure in town needs a lot of work. We're way behind in the condition of our roads. And one of the things that frustrates me as a parent, and certainly as someone who still gets out on the ball fields himself, even at my advanced age, is the condition of our parks in Weymouth. That's something that needs attention. And I think there's some creative ways that we can address that the way other towns have. And I'm excited to try to address that challenge.
Well, if the great spaceman Bill Lee can get out there, still gets out there and plays baseball, I don't see a problem with you still being able to get out there on the diamond and swing the bat and take some grounders.
Hey, next week I am hosting the Scituate Little League fundraiser dinner, and a couple years ago I did it with Bill Lee, matter of fact, and we had some fun and had the opportunity to play softball against him a number of occasions. And I got to tell you, I got so amped up looking out on the mound at Bill Lee. And, you know, here we are with the anniversary of the 75 Red Sox team that the Red Sox are highlighting, and I was just a kid then, teenager. But looking out at Billy on the mound, my adrenaline was flowing so rapidly. I think I hit the longest ball I ever hit in a men's softball game against him.
I'm kind of wondering what he was saying on the mound, because I had a chance to cover him while he did the semi-professional thing with the Brockton Rocks a number of years ago, and a kid happened to hit one. It was a long out. But he was saying some colorful things up there on the mound as the thing was flying through the air.
You know, and I'll tell you what, he was obviously known as a great pitcher. He won he was a 16 or 17 game winner for a number of consecutive years in a row for the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And had some great years. Unfortunately, he got under Don Zimmer's skin, and he was shipped out in 1979 to Montreal for Stan Pappy, another one of the worst trades in Red mm-hmm. Sox history. But I'll tell you, the guy can hit the ball, man. I mean, you know, you don't think pitchers can hit. That guy loves to hit, and he's a great hitter. And another reason why I think we got to get rid of the designated hitter rule, but it looks like Major League Baseball is probably going to move in the other direction on that issue.
Well, it's funny you mentioned hitting, because you do know what Bill Lee does these days, don't you?
Is he doing something with bats?
Yeah, he makes He actually manufactures baseball bats, and I believe there might be a member or two of the Boston Red Sox who actually buy bats from him or from a distributor that Bill Lee makes them for.
Yeah, I knew that. I didn't realize that he was bringing them in and selling them to Red Sox players.
Mm.
Well, yeah, he's an interesting guy. He's up there in Craftbury, Vermont.
Yep. Absolutely. I've had a chance to talk with him a couple of times. He's definitely a very interesting guy. Kind of going back, digressing back to our original topic, just to kind of wrap it up, because I do want to kind of pick your mind as far as what you're currently doing up on Beacon Hill. How can people find out more about your campaign? Is that something that's going to be in the works in the next couple of weeks as far as a website and getting the full-fledged campaign out there?
www.headlandformayor.com. And, of course, we're on the cusp of the Senate budget debate, so we're still immersed in a lot of state issues. And even if this transition happens, it's going to be a while. I'll be around as state senator, certainly into January of next year, at the least.
Yeah,
we don't want to be presumptuous. We do have a few good candidates in this race. We have the chair of the school committee, Sean Guilfoyle, and don't underestimate the power of an incumbent, incumbent Mayor Sue Kay. So we should have a nice, spirited discussion. I don't anticipate that it'll be...
You don't expect it to be ugly? Is that what you're going to say?
No, I don't think it'll be divisive. I think we'll come out of this, in the town, hopefully in a unified way, because the town does face a lot of challenges, and we do need people working together to get some things done. Both of those candidates have been active in civic affairs for a long time.
Mm. Again, we are speaking with State Senator Bob Hedlund, who we just got, we just kind of concluded talking about his announcement as he is going to run for mayor in the town of Weymouth. I want you to kind of put your senator's hat back on.
It remains on for a while.
Okay. Well, kind of talk to me. Here we are. The House has already passed, a couple of weeks ago, passed their version of the fiscal 2016 budget. What do we hear for discussions as far as the Senate? How will it mirror or be different from Governor Baker's?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what we do on the MBTA reform front. As you know, the House did include some minor reforms that the governor is looking for in their version of the budget. One of the things that they included was a 5-year suspension of the so-called Pacheco Law, which really ties the hands of the MBTA and other state agencies from issuing, private contracts in different areas. And that's going to be, I think, one of the major issues that kind of sends a signal as how cooperative with this administration we're going to be on MBTA reform. I think that on the issue of local aid, the numbers will be similar to what the House came out with. Unfortunately, it's only an incremental increase in the amount of increase that we saw under the previous administration. That's the thing that bothers me, and obviously if I do move to the municipal side, it's troubling that the state really hasn't been a partner, and I've talked about on the show. It's really broken the partnership with municipalities when you consider that under Governor Patrick we saw a budget increase of $1 billion a year. Yet we saw only minuscule, less than 2% increases, 1.2, depending upon communities, increases in state local aid and unrestricted aid. It's frustrating, but I don't think there's going to be much difference from the House in that. I think the big area will probably be in the issue of MBTA reforms in terms of differences.
How important is it that we see reform for the MBTA? And how disappointed are you that it took this past winter and the series of storms and the missed service that you a lot of the riders weren't able to take advantage of? That's what they pay for. That we're finally seeing some kind of reform because of Mother Nature.
Well, I don't know if we're going to see it. I mean, you got an administration that I hope they're serious about reform on the management side. They're going to own it. They're looking for new powers on the management side, and if they get it, they're going to own it. And they're going to be held accountable for that. And we'll see how much the Democrats are accountable in terms of giving him that power, but also what kind of reforms on the labor side and things like the Pacheco Law that the Democrats are willing to entertain. So both, there's got to be a give and take on both sides, and we'll see what happens. But if we don't see reform now, Kevin, after what we saw, we're never going to get it. After this winter, with the problems we saw, if we do not enact reforms immediately, I think that the momentum for getting those reforms done will diminish, the political will diminish, and, you know, I think some riders will probably have short memories.
You know, you and I have had this conversation a couple of years ago, back just on the cusp after we saw the transportation reform, where the state tried to put all, you know, eliminate the redundancies and try to, you know, put everything under one umbrella. The only thing that couldn't fit under there at the time was the MBTA. So I guess I can see why you would have your doubts in regards to MBTA reform.
I had a meeting with the new secretary, Secretary Pollack, this week, and she indicated that it was their intention to implement the provisions in the 2009 transportation reform law that Governor Patrick chose basically to ignore and not implement. And if you look at the projected savings that we had under that law and what we've actually realized, it's a sliver of what the Democrats' leadership promised us in that bill. And I did serve on that conference committee, so there's still room for reform under the existing law that we empowered the executive branch to engage in. I mean, but some of the things that we put forward in that bill, for instance, we've got MBTA employees whose salaries are derived through bonds. So we're paying interest on bonds to pay salaries. It's unheard of in the private sector. Things like that we sought to change in that law that haven't been implemented. So it was good to hear the new secretary say that, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Do you feel the biggest problem, the biggest hurdle that any reform is going to have to clear is how you deal with the unions, the MBTA's unions?
That's a big problem. I mean, you know, we've heard the stories about absenteeism and some of the powers that the unions have, and a lot of those powers, you know, were granted to them by management. So ultimately, management is somewhat responsible. But as I said, it's both of those factors, both the current arrangement that labor enjoys at the T, but the mismanagement on the management side. And I think that there's been a lot of focus on the T rank and file labor union, specifically the Carmen's Union. But I also think throughout that period, the management's gotten a free ride. I mean, under the last administration, and I wouldn't say the Romney administration, but some prior Republican administrations, it's been used as a patronage haven. And I hope that this administration is serious about changing that.
We have been speaking with State Senator Bob Hedlund. And Senator, I got to thank you so much for joining us. Anything you want to say to close out this segment, sir?
No, I hope we can get in studio sometime. I apologize for the windy conditions that I find myself in right now because I am outdoors, Kevin. It was enjoyable to have this discussion with some fresh air.
Well, I got to tell you, one of the things that I'd like to do somewhere in the next year or two, maybe get yourself and get, maybe whether we get him in studio or get him on the phone, is to get you and the governor on the same airwaves or during the same segment. Maybe we do something like a rock and roll name that tune to see how good you guys are at your trivia and your music.
You can get anyone you want. We should have a little music segment, and if anyone can beat me in rock and roll trivia, I will make a charitable contribution to the charity of their choice.
Ooh!
But and I'll give anyone 2-1 odds.
Okay.
And Baker's good, but I'll beat him.
Okay. All right. We'll have to issue that challenge.
All right.
So there he is, state senator and now mayoral candidate in the town of Weymouth, Bob Hedlund, joining us. We are going to step aside, and when we come back, we are expecting to speak with State Representative Jeff Deal right here on 95.9 WATD. You are listening to Monday Night Talk.